Shai, the chairman and CEO of Checo. He's really a pioneer who saw the maze of payment processing and didn't just find a way through it. He decided it was a time to build a brand new map.
When I co-founded Vintage Filings with my partner, Seth Farbman, and we recognized that we could do the same thing better, faster, and cheaper, we repeated that similar playbook a couple of times. I don't know if anything that we do is overly revolutionary, but rather it is just thoughtful business processes that we believe that we can do intelligently and understanding how to provide phenomenal customer service. I kept on hearing and everyone was saying checks are dead, checks are dead, and checks are dead, and they're dying and they're dead and just they're done. And it with me is payment mechanisms and payment utilization does not change. People don't change behavior so quickly, and therefore checks are not going to die. Check processing is not as simple as receiving a check and suddenly it ends up in your bank account. What happens in the process? How does that actually transfer the piece of paper, be digitized? How does it turn into a deposit? What happens to the data alongside it? If there are over 2 billion payments that begin as a digital payment, as an online payment, and the system actually picks them out and puts them into the mail and mails them. The average value of that check is $450. So it's $900 billion, begins online, should stay online. We want it to stay online, but it doesn't. And it gets into the mail, exposing all these challenges, and it gets processed that way. The scenic route. I truly believe that every financial institution and every business, were they to know that there is an opportunity to take those bill paychecks out of the system and never receive another bill paycheck again, they would run. Our job is to understand, what do our clients want? What is going to make their lives easier? What is going to bring them more efficiencies? For the banks that we service, what is going to help them attract more deposits and give them a better experience for their clients?
Before we dive into today's episode, let's spotlight a game changer in the financial world, ClearingWorks. Simplify your financial management with a one-stop solution for all your AR needs and with a single login. Are you intrigued? Visit clearingworks.com to schedule your demo today. Welcome to FinTech Confidential, bringing you the people, tech, and companies that change how you pay and get paid. Welcome to an episode of FinTech Confidential's Leaders One-on-One. I'm your host, Ted Huff, here to bring you FinTech industry insights, market trends, news, and life stories from FinTech leaders, thinkers, and doers. I had the pleasure of attending Checkout's event, Knowledge and Nourish, earlier this year in February. It was an opportunity to really get to know the Checkout leadership, some of their clients, and their partners in a face-to-face setting. It was 2 days of great information and some really amazing conversations, and it was fantastic to meet Shai in person. I want to dive in and let you know more about Shai, the chairman and CEO of Checo. He's not just another suit in the crowd. He's really a pioneer who saw the maze of payment processing and didn't just find a way through it. He decided it was a time to build a brand new map. And that started everywhere from his early days flipping the script with Vintage Filings and then all the way up to today where he's leading the charge at Checo. Shai's all about making sure your hard-earned cash doesn't take the scenic route to its destination or get intercepted by the bad guys. Shai, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Ted, for having me. It's an honor.
Shai, everyone loves a good light bulb moment. What was yours and what catapulted that spark into what you've done today with Checkout?
My background is being able to look at different industries, see the incumbents who are there, and be able to see a gap in how they are servicing the industry and servicing their clients. That began when I co-founded Vintage Filings with my partner, Seth Farbman, and we recognized that we could do the same thing better, faster, and cheaper. And that was a story and a journey in and by itself. And we repeated that similar playbook a couple of times. And then I always wanted to have the right entry point into the payments industry. And I kept on hearing and everyone was saying checks are dead, checks are dead, and checks are dead. And they're dying and they're dead and just they're done. And it resonated with me as folks were telling me years earlier that SEC filings were no longer going to be utilizing Edgar, and one day the SEC we'll say you can use a PDF or a Word doc and or Google doc, and Google's going to re-engineer, or Microsoft will re-engineer the Edgar system. And I said, nah, that's never going to happen. Governments don't change so quickly. And I said, here, payments, payment mechanisms and payment utilization does not change. People don't change behavior so quickly, and therefore checks are not going to die.
Well, I can't tell you how many times throughout my career, heck, it's been over 25 years now, that I've heard checks are dead. Nope. They're just dying. Wait a second. There are more checks now than ever. How many checks are we seeing today, and what does that represent volume-wise?
There are all differences of opinions about how many checks are. Those who said they are dead will probably still say they are dead. And when you show a piece of paper, they'll say, no, fake checks. It's not real. There are those who say they are dying will say there's a number around 10 billion or maybe a little bit less. There are those who say the number is 12 or 13 billion still remaining. But what is really interesting to note is that check processing is not as simple as receiving a check and suddenly it ends up in your bank account, but rather what happens in the process. How does that actually transfer the piece of paper, be digitized? How does it turn into a deposit? What happens to the data alongside it? If it's a business payment, there's usually a coupon or some barcode information, or it could be a medical payment. But there are over 2 billion payments that begin as a digital payment, as an online payment, and the system actually kicks them out and puts them into the mail and mails them. Over 2 billion. The average value of that check is $450. So it's $900 billion begins online, should stay online. We want it to stay online, but it doesn't. And it gets into the mail, exposing all these challenges, and it gets processed that way. The scenic route.
As you say that, it makes me wonder what was it that steered you towards revolutionizing the way that people look at these paper checks?
I don't know if anything that we do, Ted, as much as I'm honored by you calling me a revolutionary, but that we do is overly revolutionary, but rather it is just thoughtful business processes that we believe that we can do intelligently and understanding how to provide phenomenal customer service. What's happened in the check industry is that there are historical incumbents in who process checks. Wonderful companies, wonderful people, all intending beautifully to service banks and their clients. But as the comments have been that checks are dying, and then mobile is the future and digital is the future, crypto and blockchain are the future, well, companies can only spend a limited amount of time where they can invest in commitment towards the future. And suddenly, checks get left behind to die. So for those who believe they were going to die, and they didn't die, sometimes you just leave them on the side of the road and say, well, if they're going to die, I'm no longer going to invest in what's needed in them. And then suddenly you wake up years later and they have not died and they need to be cared for and need to be processed. And then you have conversations regarding check fraud and the need for APIs and the need for a better experience. Yeah. And that's where we come into play and in how we look at the business.
We all wish that we were in a world where specifically check payments would just glide super smoothly from point A to point B, absolutely no hiccups, no detours. And that seems to be the checkout promise and just saying enough to this old, clunky, old school process of logging into a bunch of different portals, manually moving stuff around, really having to key things in. You guys have gone and done a lot of those things. How are you getting to that point of streamlining that whole experience and reducing the friction?
There are a whole variety of use cases and checks and how they need to be processed and for whom and where they need to go. And we look at each one of those processes individually and say, can we automate any part of this process? If someone's writing a check or they're printing a check and mailing it, then it ends up at a post office. It ends up when we receive those items, our job is to go in and say, how quickly can we go in and get them up into the system to create a deposit? There are two real key goals in that. And that is number one, getting the money deposited. And two is getting the data into the accounting system or the ERP system so they know we actually pay this bill. The question is, how much of that process is manual and how much of that process can become automatic? How much of the process is antiquated, and because it's been done so long in this way, does it just remain there, or can a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of machine learning or AI actually accelerate that? Or does that acceleration through machine learning or AI provide a better reporting experience or a better compliant experience? Mm-hmm. Or does it give a less risk experience? So we have a phenomenal team, and the team analyzes every single one of the processes to say, we know that certain things are never going to become completely automated, but if you automate parts of it or majority of it or whatever that percentage is, depending on the process, you're already adding great value.
I had the opportunity to sit there with your team and partners and clients. There seemed to be this feeling and this discussion of, you guys have seen things that others haven't. How did you find that? And how are you leveraging those unseen items that others just haven't?
When you have a business that says, our name is CheckAlt, we process checks. We are then offering alternative, additional value-added solutions. But the glue that makes our business what it is that we process checks. Wherever those checks originate from, there are checks that originate from a handwritten item that need to be deposited at an ATM or in an office or a lockbox or a branch or mobile. Will we be able to see something that might be overlooked, that might not be able to receive the same attention and focus? When businesses have competing priorities, we know that those, and they also have shareholders or a publicly traded stock price that gets managed quarterly, they have to manage to those competing priorities, those initiatives, what folks are all saying, what they think is the next thing. Our job over here at CheckAlt is, what do our clients want? What is going to make their lives easier? What is going to bring them more efficiencies? For the banks that we service, what is going to help them attract more deposits and give them a better experience for their clients? So we look at the audience that we service, and we service banks, credit unions, fintechs, and corporates. Our job is to understand, for example, that a bank will say, okay, can you get on the phone with our property management company or a medical healthcare company or our merchant, our business, and help us as to why they need a lockbox, why they need this solution to take the bill pay checks out of the system, but spend time. That's what they want. That's the behavior of a financial institution. A fintech says, we don't want to ever talk to you. Send us your API knobs. You got it. So being able to understand the behaviors of our audiences and where they're able to invest time, thoughtfulness in versus outsourcing. Hey, CheckAlt, this is your business. Checks are a real pain in the ass. We don't. Where can you go ahead and help us? That's where we spend our time. Then the talent that we have attracted over here at CheckAlt are folks who have wonderful perspectives of the industry from different organizations, enables us to really be a great leader and a great partner to our clients.
You guys have a number of products that you offer to the fintechs, to the financial institutions, as well as large corporates. Do you have a favorite story where CheckAlt really turned the tide for a client to really get them to that next level?
Financial organizations are searching for solutions to combine operational efficiency with innovation. Look no further, as LoanPro allows lenders to enhance their origination, servicing, collections, and payments using the foundation of a modern lending core. Check out loanpro.io to learn more about how over 600 financial organizations have modernized their tech stack with LoanPro.
You know, I have six children. I'm very blessed, and I tell all my children they're my favorite. And we have six levers over here at CheckAlt, and my top head is to say that they're all my favorite. But you ask for the favorite. My favorite solution, and I like to really speak about this, is the $900 billion problem of these bill paychecks. Mm-hmm. I really believe this is such a problem and such a unique discussion that I truly believe that every financial institution and every business, were they to know that there is an opportunity to take those bill paychecks out of the system and never receive another bill paycheck again, they would run and they would onboard and they would say, sure, why would I not sign up for this? We see that there are clients of ours that are receiving, I call them bricks of checks that are bill pays. Bricks, meaning all these were, they began online, then they got mailed, and we get a delivery of a brick of checks that we just take and we go running through the system, and they get onboarded. And then we give them a call. We say, look, you can sign up. We can onboard you for our solution called Catch, and all those payments are just going to stay online. Your day sales outstanding are going to become abbreviated. Your data is going to become better. You're not putting a check in the mail to let the bad guys even have a shot at it. It's not going to be sold on the dark web. All the conversations that we can put aside or get rid of because of this solution. And then when we see the actual success of those bill pay staying there and the customers are happy and they're, it's very rewarding to see that success. So this is my, I love the Catch solution that we have. I love talking about it. I truly believe that every bank that I can get in front of, by the time I'm done with them and a good meal, I believe they're going to be signing up for it. It's just natural good value.
I will say that your choice in food when you bring everybody together for meals is bar none one of the best that I've ever had the opportunity to participate in.
Thank you.
And, you know, as you're talking about this product, do you have an example or a story of how that changed for a specific client? You don't have to call them by name, but just kind of walk us through how they went from the manual process to what it did for them in their overall business.
Well, to bring on the Catch product is easy. It's a very simple onboarding process. Our team does a great job on it. We think it's less than a week to be able to onboard a merchant onto the solution. The integration to the ERP platforms are very valuable to them. The way that I tell the story about Catch is I tell the story about my mom. My mom should live and be well. She's a wonderful woman. But my mom, like many in her generation, are never going to stop writing checks. My daughter, at the same time, is never going to start writing checks. Just a different generation of behaviors. My mom can still take a taxi and pay with, you know, cash, and my daughter will always take an Uber. It's just the way life is, generational differences. So my daughter now says to grandma and says, hey, grandma, they call my mother actually Safta, and says to my mother, hey, Safta, you know you can pay your bills online. And she goes, I know I can, but I write the checks. It's all good. Put in the mail, put the stamp on. Nobody even knows what a stamp costs today, but she's good with it, and that's her behavior. But my daughter finally goes and convinces Safta to go ahead and to make her 5 bill pays online. And she goes 1 month on the 14th and goes onto her Chase or whatever B of A account and pays these 5 bills. Done. It comes now, she receives her invoices for those 5 vendors at the next cycle. And she is assessed a $35, $40 late fee on every one of those 5 vendors. Calls my daughter over and she says, what is this? I paid the bill on the 14th. You saw me pay the bill. Calls up all 5 vendors. And she says, I paid my bill online, and my daughter helps her show them a screenshot. Well, they say, well, too bad, Mrs. Stern, you actually mailed us a check. Here's a copy of the check that we received. Now, my mother says, that's not true. Here's a screenshot. They go, yes, it is true. Here's the bill pay. Because most clerks in their receivables departments of these businesses have no idea what a bill pay check is versus a handwritten check. Now, this business has spent how much time losing an argument to my mother, because for sure, right, she's absolutely for sure going to win the argument when they're going to reverse the late charge and all that. This never needed to happen. Now, if they would have been using Catch the whole time, the bill would have been paid on time and life would have been beautiful. There are millions of merchants that need to be on this solution. It's a good solution for them. It helps them. It hits the accounting system. It saves them endless amounts of time. And as we're so busy with trying to get things that are analog to go digital, this is digital that is dropping to analog. Let's just keep it where it's intended to be. So there are all these merchants and banks that they are forever thankful to us for introducing them to this. And we want to spend more time educating others about this value of keeping the bill pay checks online, getting your money quicker, having it integrate to your ERP and accounting system, and having your business hum the way it really should.
One of the things that really shows how much these types of products and this message is resonating is 2023 was a banner year for CheckAll. And not only that, but you continue to build out what I would call a dream team roster that would make just about anybody in your space just swoon over who you've brought on board. And it's not just about the numbers and who you brought on, but it's really about how they're bringing that to the market. How are you adjusting your playbook to keep that momentum from 2023? And what are the targets you're really striving for in 2024?
So first, thank you for acknowledging the team. When I moved back from Los Angeles to New York this summer of 21, that was the number one focus. Can we go ahead and build a team that can lead us to a whole new level and levels beyond that? And that was a very strong commitment of mine and focused very deeply on it from chief people officer, CFO, chief operating officer, and then to really continue to enhance and upgrade across all the functions that we have here. But we sit together as a team. We have a lot of interesting conversations, a lot of dialogue. There's a company call every Friday. There are multiple meetings throughout the week where we look at the pipeline, look at the solutions. We hear the different feedback from our customers, industry trends and all that. And we stay very focused. You know, our six levers of lockbox, software, the catch feature that we highlighted, APIs that we have, merchant processing and ATM deposit automation enable us to stay very, very in tune with our customers. We spend a lot of time educating our customers about values that they should be showing their merchants in our solutions. So our team of client experience folks and our relationship management folks, they lead webinars and education. We put together some great materials that we really try to understand what's going on and our clients. It's difficult. Customers, clients, financial institutions, they're not used to getting this kind of bespoke service. They're typically accustomed to hollering, screaming, complaining, waiting for things to break And the challenge that I have set forth over here is that we need to interact with customers all the time, not waiting for something to go bad when we interact with them. Let's show them different use cases about how other financial institution clients are using us, how other fintechs are using us, how the APIs that we built, why are we building them? And do they have merchants as well that can benefit? The interaction, the focus, the curating of information, the curating of content to the right people that we are engaging with. You know, at a financial institution or a fintech or these businesses, you can have many time where you need to be engaging with maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 folks at a business, at an institution where it's on us. If you want to be a great provider, you can never assume that you can share the information with one person at a bank and that person's then going to go in and train everybody else. It doesn't work that way. Let's understand who else is there. Let's understand who we can influence, who we can engage with, who we can make feel good and curate the content to their liking. And when you do that, I think that we then develop a great momentum that will be rather fulfilling to keep our customers happy, to keep them growing. And then obviously, inevitably, we're going to become a great partner.
As you talk about the communication within your team and then your team with all your partners and your clients, I have this question. I'm going to name off a few people that I've really enjoyed spending time with. Is you've got star players like Rachel Book, you've got Patrick Law, Lynn Dufresne, Jen Linton on board. I'm curious to how their wisdom has been weaved into CheckAll's fabric to really make it stronger and to deliver on those client promises that you just discussed.
The most common cause of bad customer experience isn't that high tech. It's embarrassingly simple. Yep, it's answering questions. In e-commerce, it's really easy to get bogged down with common questions, whether that's where's my package, how do I return or exchange this item, or just to cancel a subscription. Solvepath is an AI-driven customer support system that enhances the customer experience with visual formats and self-serve technology to empower your customers to handle their own support requests. Get the best customer support system for your business. Get Solvepath. Get started by visiting getsolvepath.com.
I love the question. I love it. Rachel Buck is my right hand. She's our chief people officer, but just an amazing, amazing partner and someone who I am so grateful to have on my team, and someone who I am always looking to learn from her how I can better lead the organization, and does an incredible job in leading all of our employees, caring for them, inspiring them, making sure they understand what's expected of them. That's the fabric of who we are, because our people are everything. You know, technology companies, mm-hmm. we're a tech-enabled services company, but services and solutions are all run by people and humans. And she does just an absolutely phenomenal job. And every day that I get to have her on my team, and we hope it's for decades and decades ahead. Patrick Law, first of all, besides him being an amazing leader, he served our country in two different tours. He's an amazing human. We have so much honor and respect, and we thank him so much for who he is as a person. But he has 27 years experience in running banking ops and being a leader and being able to attract talent, motivate talent, push talent, like really drive people to know that they can achieve more, and has an amazing ability to take what's in my head and execute so beautifully on it. His wisdom around ops and tech is really second to none in the industry, and I believe that that'll continue to thrive. Lynn Dufresne, that Patrick brought on, his great wisdom as understanding what customers are looking for and how to interact with them, how to sell, how to build relationships, possesses beautiful elegance in the way she goes about it. So to be a salesperson and a relationship management person, but yet have elegance, is such a unique quality that we really admire. And Jen Linton, who runs product for us, is someone who Patrick identified, who coming here to check off from coming from a large organization, I look at her thoughtfulness, her diligence, her collaboration with her team, her upbeat attitude, meaning the pleasantness of this woman as a leader and her demeanor is something that is infectious within our entire organization. So I hope it's coming across how much I love my people. So often.
Oh, it is. Here. It is.
And I can go through all 200 plus folks of the company, how much I am so honored and humble that these folks are here at Checkold helping us become the business that we are becoming.
You called out some amazing things about all of these people, and I agree with everything that you said. My question is, how is all of those great qualities of these leaders building a stronger version of Checkout to move forward into 2024 and beyond?
Talent is what builds companies. Period. End of story. Exclamation point. Talent, talent, talent. When you have talent that foundationally is strong, talent that foundationally enjoys working together, that knows how to collaborate, that is one unit, one Checkout, all together with goals that are very clear, all marching together. We enjoy each other's company. At least I enjoy their company. I'm the boss. I hope they enjoy my company as well. But we really enjoy each other's company. We spend a lot of time together, even though we are a remote company. We have 10 locations where we process. But myself, Rachel, Tony, we're in New York. Jen Linton's in Houston. And Patrick is in Dallas. And we're not always together physically, but we're always together. The team foundationally and the strength of this unit together. If someone says to me, you know, is your team strong enough to lead you to $1 billion in revenue or higher? Absolutely. This is a team that can manage scale of real proportion, really guide us there. And just, we're so excited to see, you know, where we are at the end of 24, 25, 26, and the payments, real significant payments business that we are on the path to building.
Can you share just a little glimpse of the strategies that you're looking at to really propel Checkout and to achieve the goals that you've set?
Checks are our glue. It's Checkout. We know checks are not going away. And I say that like we know it. Like checks are not going away. That's our thesis. And check technology is required. And an increased investment into check technology and all that comes around it is very necessary. That means software, receivable software to process. Software that gives a good experience, good reporting, good technology, good risk and compliance protection is our investment. Today, where we are, most of our revenue still today is on tech-enabled services, lockbox, people sending us to work, or ATM deposit automation. That mix of revenue is going to shift as we do more in software, as we receive more in APIs, as we do more in payments, as this catch feature continues to explode and continues to gain more momentum, the mix of our revenue is going to become way more software payments, API driven. And that's going to make us significantly more into a payments company than known as a check company. That's why we named the company Check Alt. We began as Check, but it's all these alternative revenue streams that we already have that we built into our platform, the software and the APIs and payments that are really going to see the company go Check Alt, value added, continue to build. And we see that happening. We see the way some of our partnerships are growing. If you look at some of the greatest success stories in the payments industry over the last decade, are APIs or software companies that embedded within an industry, that industry grew and they grew with it. So we have built great software and a lot of APIs and some great partners where they took our APIs and they built it in. And those APIs, as those businesses grow and they get significantly funded, their growth trajectory is astronomical and they're already seeing that growth happening. And we're going along for that ride because our value to them as an embedded partner is of great value to their goals and to where their strategy is. So I think that software payments, APIs, that's going to be the future, but always the glue, the springboard is our check business.
Looking at that strategy, what do you see as the most complicated problem that your clients face and how are you solving it?
Receivables departments at businesses have a lot coming at them. They receive payments coming from checks, ACH, card, wires, sometimes cash, and many times they're coming in multiple locations. Receivables departments are always underfunded. They're under-resourced, always, always, always. People look at the finance team, whether right or wrong, it's not for us to decide, as being an expense for the business. So getting the cash in and trying to find the most efficient way to get your money in to run your business or get it the quickest way or the most efficient way, businesses don't spend too much time thinking about that. Until there's a problem, they don't really think about how they're getting their money in to run their business. We have to always be thoughtful to say, how can we help the receivables departments and our clients hum better? How can we give them ideas or tools to go ahead and to become more successful? So we've made north of 20 fintech investments. One of the things that we don't speak about too publicly too often, but we've made some phenomenal fintech investments and we love investing into fintech entrepreneurs where we believe we can add value to them. We've invested in a whole bunch of companies where we believe that their value to us and to our clients can be very, very powerful. We invested recently into an ACH. We just announced this one recently called GroundPay. ACH is a service business. We're very excited about it.
I love Will. Will's freaking amazing.
Love Will, right? Will Messina is great. We invested years ago into BankJoy, a mobile banking platform that we love. Mike Duncan and the team over there. We love Jeremy Balkin at TodayPay, what he's doing over there with Refunds as a Service. And we're going to announce in the next week or so that we invested into another company that does digitization of medical lockbox. That is a tremendous problem for many financial institutions and their healthcare customers and their healthcare clients. But we invested into others that are beneficial and in other various industries. So we're always looking to see how to make our clients and their clients be more thoughtful and be more efficient. That is the benefit of having a great team. I can go to Tony, I can go to Patrick, I can go to Jen, the crew, and say, hey guys, does this make sense? This is the way I'm looking at it. You guys think this is, can you analyze it? Suddenly the team says, yes. I said, okay, now run with it and go. You're going to see a lot more ability to onboard quicker, automation, a lot of AI that we've built in already. What we did with Leo Rocco's company and Confidence, what we have with Script.ai in machine learning and invoice coding, a lot of thoughtful investments that we've made and that we will continue to go ahead and to do. We've made 3 acquisitions. We'd love to find more. I believe there's going to be an opportunity. You and I have discussed that in the past. With the team that we have today, can we acquire more and integrate quicker and integrate it more wiser? The answer is absolutely. The resources that we have today across all functions within our organization. So we believe we haven't even scratched the surface to what we can achieve. The team is what's helping us really go get there. The market is absolutely recognizing that checks need the right provider to take care of them properly in the right way. And we're really enjoying this year and what we've done in the past, and we look forward to a great bunch of years ahead.
Well, it sounds like you guys are just moving forward at a pace and with the momentum to really just do whatever it is that you guys want to do. But everybody loves a good underdog story. And I would love for you to share one where the checkout team was able to turn the tables from where you felt like you were in a position of not being able to deliver on something, whether it be something new or something existing, and we're able to leverage that experienced team that we've talked about to flip it over to a win.
Okay, you touched a nerve, Ted. You ready for it? You touched a nerve.
I'm ready.
I have a very strong aversion to RFPs. In this industry, banks, they love, we need to go to RFP. So first of all, they should know that the folks who are responding to RFPs, they're using AI and ChatGPT, and humans are even responding to these questions. That's number one. Number two is, in the RFP world, in every industry, the incumbents always win. No one's ever going to be fired by selecting this company. Mm-hmm. You have non-users of the service and the solution, or folks who are in the procurement division deciding what to use or to put numbers on answers. It takes out all the value of a business. Value of a business is the technology that's being used. Value of the business are the people that are you can always rely on. So most times, if we get an RFP, we know that we're not going to win. We know that. They're going to automatically decide on a multi-billion dollar publicly traded company because some bozo in the procurement division is going to say, I'm not going to get fired for choosing these guys, which is true. I believe that. You're never going to get fired if you go there and they mess up because they are who they are.
Yeah, that makes me think of the old adage. You know, I've worked for some large corporations, and the engineering and IT teams would always say, no one ever got fired for choosing IBM.
There you go.
And of course, I'm dating myself a little bit, right? But that's something that comes to mind as you're describing this, and I'd love to hear the rest of the story.
Hey, Ted Huff here. Ever thought about how you could streamline your application and underwriting process? Well, let me introduce you to Under. Why keep using the outdated methods of PDFs when you can digitize them effortlessly? All you gotta do is upload the PDF, send it out for digital signature, and voila, you're set for the digital age. Are you curious on how to make that happen? Head over to under.io/FTC and get started for free. It's really that simple.
So we're the underdog. So when it comes to RFPs, I typically tell my team, don't respond. You know, we've turned down RFPs from large Fortune 50 companies. I say I'm very honored that you included me in the RFP, but I know I'm not going to win. So why would I spend the time doing it? So we had a call from a corporation that every single human in this country knows the name. Every single human. I'm not going to use their name publicly, but every single human of this country knows. And they call me up and they go, hey, Shai, you know, we want to include you in an RFP. And it actually was the business decision maker. It wasn't the procurement guy. And I said, hey, Kevin, I'm flattered to be in the company of these other incumbents, these other wonderful organizations. The guys who run them are my friends. I have great relationships with them. But we're going to humbly pass on participating in the RFP. And he goes, well, I need three participants. I said, well, you got one, two, and then find the next schmuck. I'm not doing it. And I said it elegantly, and I said that we're not going to participate because I don't have 100 hours. These RFPs take tens and tens of hours to apply to. I'm not doing it. And I said, but if you give me your word, sir, that we'll have a fair shot to win the business, you give me your word that we have a fair shot to win the business, I'm going to go ahead and participate and we'll respond. He goes, you know, that's a fair question. I can't give you the answer now. If I can give you a fair shot, I'll call you back. He was honest in that he said, I don't know if I can give you a fair shot or if I just need a third participant. He called me back 2 weeks later and he goes to me, I'm giving you a fair shot. Can you please respond? I said, fair shot is a fair shot. I'm in. We won the business. Fast forward, you met this fellow, Ted, when you were in our offices. The night before you met him, so you know the story. You know how the story is true. But the night before, I had the honor of having dinner with this fellow and his wife. They came in for our event on their own dime, even dinner, you know, to buy dinner, all the right compliant rules. We follow them, of course. Over dinner, I asked, why did you choose us? That was you could have gone anywhere else. He goes, I chose you because number one, your software is light years ahead. to your onboarding integration timeline was so far ahead of others. Three, your pricing was better. And then he says to me, two more things I want to tell you. One, you're the only CEO who I can get to answer a cell phone. And I know that every time I call or text you, you're going to answer and respond to me. I said, that's true. He goes, but the people that you have at Checkalt are packed with wisdom, intelligence, kindness. They're fun. They're engaging. And he goes, and we're going to do business with people. Business has to be done with people. And we chose Checkalt because of the people. They're a great client of ours. They enjoy who we are. They advise us if they see things in the industry they think we should be building out. We ask them questions because we want to glean from their experience and their wisdom. And it's worked out beautifully. But if you were to ask me prior, was there a shot that us as an underdog would ever win that piece of business? The answer is no. But over my career, every one of my businesses has been the underdog, has been the guy going in there saying, I can go ahead and beat these guys up and do something good while having a great relationship with them because of the flexibility, the drive, the motivation that we have, and that we truly believe in our thesis and our strategy as a business.
Yeah, I think sitting in on that session with Kevin and Patrick really gave me a perspective of how institutions of their magnitude, diversity of product sets truly honors and appreciates that personal touch. Because I think just about every time that there was a question, it was about that. And the response came back to that time and time again. So that is something that is really, really cool. And I can even attest, like, it doesn't matter. I could text you. I could call Lynn. It doesn't matter. But the people are always there to provide that help and to provide that guidance. It's been fantastic to experience that with them.
Thank you.
What I always do towards the end of the episode is I like to take a peer through the fintech looking glass and see what holds for the future. And in this case, according to your eyes through the Checkalt lens, what is the next frontier and how do you plan on conquering it?
The next frontier is to continue with our strategy. To continue down the strategy, these six levers, you got to stay focused. In every business that I build, if you stay focused, you win. If you look too far ahead and you try to chase the next shiny object, you're done. All the folks that we brought on here came here for this strategy, came here because they know checks are not going anywhere. The technology that we're building in the receivables platform is very powerful. There's a massive market that needs it. The ability to process checks, the ability to offer software, APIs, payments. If we just serve this cash opportunity, it's a $900 billion opportunity. All of it for all these millions upon millions of merchants that they don't have to wait for that one check that might be stolen or lost in the mail and it gets integrated into their accounting system. There's a huge opportunity here. And I think that we're going to see a lot of consolidation in this market. We're going to see a compression where folks who began businesses that were a one trick or a one solution opportunity are going to be better suited at being part of a larger company. Like in many industries, you're going to have a lot of, it's going to take time. But by us at Checkalt, I think our success will absolutely come by staying the course. We just got to stay the course. And if we stay the course with patience, calmness, balancing it with great ambition, and elegance, I think we're going to wake up in a couple of years from now and be a great payments business that folks are going to be wanting to do business with because we're always going to maintain a very high level of customer touch, great customer service, understand your needs. We're going to staff accordingly. And I think that if we do that and keep on investing in software technology, we're going to be more than okay.
I can't help but think through our conversation today, and you've mentioned a number of these, and I'd love for you to distill it down just a little bit of what advancements and shifts that are aligning with the strategy of those six pillars.
I think that banks years ago were not open to cloud-based software. Today, everyone's accustomed to cloud-based software. I think that years ago, folks were not really interested in building APIs. Today, that's a necessity. I think that you're going to see that the dialogue about how banking as a service custom companies are banned, or they're compliant risks, or they're being thrown out already because, you know, they laid off 10 or 15% of their staff. That's going to come back roaring. I mean, the folks who run some of these BaaS companies and the banks who service them are very, very talented people. But we're going to see how the business will continue to evolve with payments and API and software. That is our focus. That is our mission. That is our belief. It's our strategy. We're going to continue to find the right companies to invest and or to acquire. We're going to continue to seek out the best talent to bring onto our team that wants to believe in this vision of where we're headed. But the next frontier of technology and payments is anybody's guess which one's going to be the actual one that's going to take off and become the next Stripe. But, you know, we don't need to become the next Stripe. We just want to take care of our clients and the marketplace properly.
So the last, very last question of today is, if you were sitting down with one of these fintech entrepreneurs, like many that you've already invested in, and you're only able to give them one sentence of advice, what would it be and why?
One, be kind to your wife and your family. Most important thing, being an entrepreneur means that you need the support of the loved ones to go ahead and to understand that you're working, you're doing, you're focused. Don't neglect those who love and support you. It wasn't a business answer, but it's a human answer. And I think that's very important. I love my wife. You know, we're married 28 years and we're blessed. And she puts up with the crazy entrepreneur that I've been for all these years. We have to be aware of the sacrifices our family makes for us to go out there and realize our strategies and our dreams. That is the human answer. On the business answer is, if you believe in your strategy, which every entrepreneur should, believe and believe in your strategy. And a lot of times entrepreneurs will see things that others will ridicule. They will mock. They will tell you that what you're seeing is nuts and everybody else has tried it, or this part of the industry is dead, or this one is not happening yet, or you're seeing too far out. I don't see the adoption. One, believe in your strategy. Two, don't believe your own gut, or as they say, right, don't overbelieve in yourself. Allow yourself to engage with mentors, whether it be a board member or an outside mentor or someone who has experience, and be open to hearing their wisdom. Be honest, be truthful. Don't be stubborn. And as you build your team, trust your team. If you invest in a team the way everyone should to scale, allow them to do what you brought them on for and empower them and let them go ahead and thrive. Every single person needs a mentor. Every single person needs those who they can always be incredibly honest with what is challenging them internally. And don't ever stop doing that. Be humble and always have it. I've got my partner, my mentor. He's 77 years old. He's been my everything for close to 30 years. I don't mention his name publicly because he doesn't like to get any recognition. I've benefited so much from him over these three decades, and he's always available. And I always will ask a question. So here I am as a CEO. I have someone who I always ask, and then I always have those who I lead. So being able to always have that balance of being able to glean wisdom and be able to always go ahead and lead is what I really would like to guide everyone.
Shai, as always, man, you're full of amazing insights and amazing strategies in business. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your day today to really dive into what you're doing and the team at Checkalt are doing to move that product and that part of the industry forward. So I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Ted. I'm humbled. You're a wonderful man. And I always appreciate spending time with you.
Well, folks, that is another episode of FinTech Confidentials, Leaders One-on-One. If you want to learn more about what the next moves for Checkalt is, go ahead and check out their website at checkalt.com. And you can find them on the social channels at Checkalt. And as always, keep moving forward.
As we wrap up today's episode, I've got one last thing for you. If you're in the trenches fighting fraud and financial crime, you know it's a complex battlefield. That's where Hawk's AI tools for real-time payment screening, AML, transaction monitoring, and dynamic customer risk rating come into play. These aren't just buzzwords. They're game changers designed to make your compliance more effective and less of a headache. Imagine slashing through false positives with precision and giving your compliance strategy the edge it needs. Head on over to gethawkai.com to sign up for a demo and discover how their platform can revolutionize how you fight fraud and financial crime.
This has been a production of DV3 Media with all rights reserved. This is provided for informational purposes only. It is not offered or intended to be used as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. We strive to provide accurate and up-to-date information, but will not be responsible for any missing facts or inaccurate information. You comply and understand that you should use any of this information at your own risk. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile financial assets, so research and make your own financial decisions.